That is St. Etienne, lovely Sarah Cracknell, with You're in a Bad Way, and that was from the early 90s, 1993. That was over 150 years ago, listeners. Things were very different then. They didn't have cars. All the world was covered with trees and plant life, and there was no Robbie Williams. It was a very different world. Hi, this is Adam Buxton, and I'm joined today by my good friend Garth Jennings.
Yes, Joe's not here. I'm standing in for Joe, because he's got shingles.
He's got the shingles, and he's in Los Angeles. He went off to Los Angeles to do some work with his showbiz pals. But as soon as he got there and checked into his gold palace, he got the shingles, which is terrible, really, because shingles is one of those things that, you know, it sounds like a made-up disease, doesn't it?
Well, I didn't know what it was before, and it sounds... I was talking about this yesterday, that it sounds like a Stephen King novel.
Right.
Because I was thinking it sounds like, you know, you could imagine the poster on the Underground, and it's sort of the new Stephen King novel, Shingles, you know, between the shiver and the tingle lies the shingle. And, it turns out it's, you know, in reality, you get it when you're really run down.
Right, it's a nervous disease of the nervous
system.
Well,
I think it's a bit run down, and yeah, but it's lying dormant within all of us, which is why I was thinking again of Stephen King. Yeah, because it's once you get measles or something like that when you're a chicken pox.
Right.
That little tiny piece of it stays within you, and if you go too bad...
You should do the shingles movie. It's like the Incredible Hulk.
The shingle.
Edward Norton, and he just gets a rash. Don't make me angry, or I might get a nasty rash.
I don't want to get run down again.
Don't make me run down. But listen, it can be worse than just an itchy rash, though. I mean, shingles can be very serious. If you get it on your face and around... Don't grin at me.
I can't help it.
Stop grinning. It's a serious thing. You know, like, if you get it around your eyes, if it's really bad, you can go blind with that. That's crazy stuff, and
it's not something to be laughed at.
So I hope Dr. Sexy is okay. I'm pretty sure he is. We got a message saying that he is going to be back in time for our coverage of Glastonbury next week.
Good.
He's not going to miss out on Glastonbury. No. But Dr. Sexy's been in a bad way, so that was St. Etienne for
him. Yeah, and I'm sorry for making it sound like a joke. We miss you, man, and I hope you get well soon.
Yeah, absolutely. That was very nice.
Very sexy. I was doing a late night voice there.
But in every possible conceivable way, Garth is going to be taking Joe's place as best he can in his own inimitable fashion. And he is going to be indulging in song wars with us.
Yes, I'm going to take Adam on head to head with song wars. And I've written something for it this time, because last time I sat in, I did a cover version of Elton John's I'm Still Standing with My Grandma.
Yeah.
Which is cheating, because you're supposed to write something.
Yeah.
This time I've written something.
Good one. And the theme this time is illness. We thought it would be as a tribute to Dr. Sexy with his shingles. And also the fact that both Garth and I have been feeling a bit under the weather recently. But we'll tell you more about that later on in the show. And, of course, we have Text the Nation. Text the Nation, the nation's favourite feature. There's so much to talk about. But right now, here's some music. Now, this is the new one from Beck. Have you heard this, Garth?
No, I want to hear this with my whole face.
Chemtrails. He just keeps churning the stuff out. You would think that Beck would just sit back on his kind of ironical couch and put his
No, this
put
is
his
all
trainers
the,
up.
The new thing. I'm hearing good things. And he's just signed to XL with this, hasn't he?
Oh.
It's all exciting.
XL, they're so hot right now.
They're powerful.
Let's hear Beck with Chemtrails. Oh, he's back. He's coming back there. He's walking out, and then he thought, you know, I'm just going to wander back in.
Yeah, Danger Mouse.
While I'm playing.
Come back, you haven't finished.
Hey, Beck, where are you going?
No, it's actually real, the actual real Danger Mouse going, Beck, come back. Come back, Beck. Have you finished your funny guitar?
And then very abrupt. I mean, that's perverse, isn't it? And he wanders out, and he comes back, and then suddenly there's a little abrupt conclusion there. That was Beck. That's his new one. It's released on the 23rd of June. It's called Chemtrails, and that is produced by Danger Mouse. Now, he is so hot right now. He's been hot for a while, I guess. What did he do pre-Gnarls Barkley?
He started off, didn't he, doing the Grey album, which was mixing Jay-Z's Black album...
With the Beatles' White album. That's right.
The Grey Album.
The Grey Album.
And then it all went on to the Gorillaz.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it all went crazy from there.
You know facts. What are you doing here?
Oh, that's what I'm doing here.
People who know facts aren't really allowed on this show. You know, we don't know anything
at all.
Those
are facts you can't avoid. I mean, he's, like you say, he's the most popular and famous producer right now.
He's the producer du jour. And he'll produce anyone. Black Keys, Black Eyed Peas, yep. Black Kids. He doesn't mind. He'll produce them all.
Yeah.
But he's not got a signature sound as such, does he? Like, he hasn't got a drum machine he carries around with him everywhere. And
I don't know. I wouldn't know that was produced by by Danger Mouse.
That's the hallmark of a truly great producer.
Yes.
You know, like the Neptunes, you can hear that the Neptunes have produced something.
Yeah, because they say, "Hi, we're the Neptunes." All the way through, he goes, "I'm Pharrell and I'm producing this record." And then it's the same with Timbaland. You know, you're going, who made this? And he goes, "Timbaland made it." I made it quite quickly when I wasn't thinking very hard.
Well, there's the new Weezer song. What's it called?
Oh, yeah, Timbaland. It's called
Mash and Peas or something. Pork and Beans.
Yeah, and Timbaland knows the way to the top of the charts.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, he's a genius. He's a genius. But the question is, as you were saying during that song, is Danger Mouse accompanied by a little engineer called Penfold?
Yes. Yes. Because good grief, every time something stupid happens musically, someone drops a cymbal. Good grief.
And now look at this. We've got some Gnarls Barkley coming up for you.
Well,
folks.
This was one of my choices. I get to pick a couple of songs.
Was it? So it was yeah. Happenstance.
Yes.
Is that the right word?
That sounds like a little village in Oxford. But I picked this one because my friend Dom, who's a bit of a music guy.
Yeah.
And a lovely chap. He sent this to me. And it really is one of those rocking tracks that will wake you up on a Saturday morning.
We don't want that.
Yeah, you do.
Do we?
Because it starts off, you think, for a few seconds you'll think, this is nothing, I'm not worried about this. And then suddenly, you're attacked by Gnarls Barkley from all angles.
Ooh, yeah. Sexy. And after this, I think maybe we should do Song Wars.
Yeah.
But first, here is Garth's first choice for you listeners. This is No Time Soon by Gnarls Barkley.
Oh.
This could be this one of those days when we must.
The kicking in you were talking about.
Man, I've made a terrible mistake. I'm sure this track is very good, but this is not the track I'm looking for.
Oh.
These aren't the tracks.
Where did
I'm
you get the
for?
Track No Time Soon from? You got the title right.
I think it's called Gone Too Soon.
Oh.
I think there might be a slight. I'm sure I wrote the name down because I don't even know the name of this one.
Here we go. Look, Claire's got a copy of the album.
What have we got here?
There.
Let's have a look. It says. Oh.
Don't worry, though, man. This is something we like to do on the show as well.
Yeah.
I played the Colin Blunstone track What Becomes of the Broken Hearted the other day, and it was the totally wrong version. And there was no point in playing it whatsoever, because I wanted to play the Dave Stewart one with all the synthesizers on it. And...
Is the right one on there?
I think so, but I can't see the title of it. I think there's been a terrible mistake. You know what? I blame my friend Dom.
Here's an idea for some Solid Gold Radio. Let's flick through every single track. Until we find the right one.
Oh, dear. And we were off to a roll at the beginning there.
Should we start at track one?
Yeah, go on.
Are we really going to do that?
No, we're not really, are we?
I think you would.
Oh, dude, I love it. Random Radio. Is this it?
No, it starts with
it. It's not this one. That's nice, though.
Okay, track two.
I'm just going to say no or yes.
No.
That's bad.
That's
what if we get to the end of the album and it's not on there?
It is on there. This is it. This is the hit. Going on now.
That's the Smiths with Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now, and because it's a miserable morning. I don't know what it's like where you are, folks. I hope it's nicer than where we are. It's just about the worst kind of weather you could get, really. It's sort of rainy and blustery, but are still a bit muggy.
Well, you know what? I just cycled all the way from home to here.
Mm-hmm.
And I by the time I got here, I realised my face had been squeezed up like a strange sort of shape from dealing with the spray from the buses. And it was only when I got off that I realised my whole face had locked in this weird shape.
Right.
But it's calming down now, thanks to the coffee.
Yeah, good, good, good. Yeah. Well, relax. And listeners, you know, that's don't get face. Out of bed. It's a disaster
area. No, just don't do it.
And right now, it's time for Song Wars.
It's time for Song Wars. The war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test. So check it out.
No, I haven't heard yours. You haven't heard mine. This is a Song Wars with Garth Jennings, who is my guest this week. He's filling in for Joe, who is laid up with shingles. It's a pirate disease. Joe's a pirate, and he's been in Los Angeles battling people with his cutlass, and he contracted shingles on a raiding mission.
Mm-hmm.
So I really hope he's okay, and we're expecting to be back with him next week when we're in Glastonbury, of course. But for Song Wars this week, Garth and I have composed an original tune, which we're going to play for you. And, of course, as usual, you listeners have to tell us which one you like best. And then next week at Glastonbury, we'll announce the winner. So we decided that the theme should be illness. Right?
Mm.
Because all this week I've had a cold, a summer cold, whatever you want to call it. It's just a cold, basically. And you've been suffering from hay fever.
I get stupid hay fever. It's really annoying. In fact, you're talking about pirates there. Earlier in the week, my eyes swell up with hay fever as well. So I look really strange. And for the first time in my whole life, just one of my eyes decided to swell up. And the other one sort of went the other way.
Yeah.
So I remember turning around to my wife and she sort of jumped back a bit. And sort of went, oh, you've got a big eye. and along with the running nose and all the other rashy, itchy bits. Yeah, well, it's not been a particularly sexy week, that's for sure.
No. I felt rotten as well. I felt really dreadful. Well, we went to France last weekend, you see. And we were seeing Radiohead out there in this outdoor arena. I'll talk about that a bit later on, but I think maybe I caught some, I don't know, sexy Radiohead virus, and so I was feeling rough all week. I'm feeling a lot better today.
Have you channeled that into your song?
Yes, I have.
Because I've channeled my hay fever, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay, let's flip a coin.
All right, go for it.
Call it. This is calling it to go first.
Heads for first.
You want to go heads for first? Heads it is.
Good gracious.
So, introduce your song for us.
All right, my song's called Hay Fever. Because I get it really badly, and it really is based on the whole thing of waking up in the morning with your eyes glued shut. That happens a lot with my hay fever. Not a pretty thing, but I'm sure some of you out there share my allergy. And this is a song about the allergy. Here we go. This is Hay Fever.
This one goes out to all the ladies. All the men are having problems with their allergies today.
Oh, oh, oh. I woke up this morning with such a fright. I was not right.
What was wrong?
Couldn't open my eyes.
That sounds nasty.
Someone glued my eyeball shut in the night. Who causes strife? Was it my wife?
Wasn't me, you idiot.
All at once I knew the score. This has happened lots before. It's not someone, it's my allergy. Making me sneeze, making me wheeze. I got a fever. I hate a fever. Ruin my summer. Serious bummer. If you got a fever. Me. It doesn't put me to sleep,
even though sleeping is nice.
I use so many tissues, it is obscene. There's a constant stream of liquid green. As the pollen count goes up, I know I've run out of luck. A once in store is just more misery. Yes.
That's my song.
That's
Hay
amazing,
Fever.
Man.
That's a bit of Timbaland production.
You can't just, did you really do that? You can't just wander in with a song like that. That's ludicrously high quality. Now, I should play you mine, which is kind of a contrast. And I thought this week I would really try and play all the instruments myself.
Oh, good one.
But rather than, and which is what you did on your track, but yours sounds wicked. Mine sounds insane.
But I haven't used any guitars or anything. That's just keyboards.
Yeah, well, you wait till you hear mine. And this is what happens when you got a cold and you try and play your guitar badly. Here's my song.
It started yesterday. There was a tickle in my throat and I coughed, but it didn't go away. And when I coughed again, I felt a small amount of pain ripple gently through the muscles in my limbs and chest. I thought, I know what's best. I'll drink a pint of echinacea, have a bath, and snort a line of vitamin C. Oh, how happy I will be. I will chew the yummy orange pills, and they will sort out all my chills. Hey, look at me, I'm eating vitamin C. I've eaten much too much, oh dear, and now I can't get off the lavatory. I've got chills, they're multiplying, and now I'm losing the will to go to work. I'll phone in sick and they'll think that I'm just faking it, and then I'll take some pills and I'll climb into bed. Look, I'm in bed, it's the day but I'm in bed. I'm going to catch up on some reading and some dull but worthy DVDs. I've got tissues, I've got mojo back issues, but I'm sweating and I'm shaking. Could somebody help me please? When I get better, I'm going to make some changes. I'm never going to drink or smoke a single thing again. I've got the flu and I want you to sympathize. Just look into my eyes, they're all streaming and red, and I'm in bed and I can't get up because my muscles hurt. Oh dear, dearie me. I've got a cold and I'm told it's a peculiar strain. It makes your hands feel balloony, it plays tricks on your brain. You get a tune in your head and it plays on a loop, round and round and round and round. I've got the bug from a woman who was sneezing at work. She flipping sneezed on my sandwich but I ate it like a jerk.
And then it sort of fades out there.
It's brilliant.
That's my flu song.
Well played, by the way. I was expecting something terrible the way you built it up.
Well, you know.
That was well done.
Three chords. Okay, so folks, if you want to vote for Garth's Hay Fever song or my flu song, the email address, as usual, is adamandjoe, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Or you can text your vote on 64046. However, if you are listening again, then you can't. And are you saying that they can't text?
Not really
for Song Wars.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Ignore the texting. It's only email votes for Song Wars, okay, listeners? But you can text us if you want to just chat to us anyway about anything else.
Yeah.
64046. We'll be back shortly. Right now, it's time for the news. That's The Hives with Walk, Idiot, Walk. What's he got against people who walk?
Well, he wants him to walk rather than run. He's saying, walk, idiot, walk. Don't run across my...
Oh,
garden?
I see. He's like a teacher.
Yeah, he's a headmaster.
It's a song for teachers in the corridors.
Walk, idiot, walk!
Yes. Yeah, that would be great. It'd be nice to have Howling Pele as your headmaster.
Yeah, yes.
Get the job done. Now, we just got a nice email through from someone who said that they'd been enjoying my sausages video.
Yes, I'm glad you said video on the end of that.
On YouTube. For those of you who don't know, Garth actually helped me out with this video. He directed it for me. And it's a clip from this show Mebox that I did last year for BBC Three, which is amazingly finally being shown, like about 7 months after I delivered the thing.
When is it being shown? No, it's tonight, right?
It's going out tomorrow night, on BBC Three at 11:45 p.m., which I'm very excited about. It's the best slot I think they have. I think it's the best slot in the world.
It's always good for the kids, that slot.
It's a plum slot, you know. It's the plum slot.
But I'm thinking, though, in this day and age where everyone's got hard disk recorders and things,
that's
except
right.
me, I won't I have that. But, you know, everyone's going to see it.
Everyone time shifts, Garth.
You know, living in a little virtual bubble thing. I've seen the show, obviously, because I helped out on bits of it. And I have to say to you, listener person,
it's a load of old rubbish.
It's brilliant. It's actually the best thing I've seen in ages.
It's the best, apparently, it's the best show ever made.
No, I know. You can't like yourself. That's not allowed. But I can like it, and I really think it's the best thing ever. So stay up really late, drink loads of coffee, whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
And watch this show, man. It's
have
amazing.
A Mebox party.
Yeah.
And you can see clips from it online right now if you go to YouTube and type in MWBOX. Unfortunately, there's a Japanese guy who's got the same handle, Mebox.
Really?
Yeah, but he just uploads loads of clips of Japanese bands and stuff, and it's all in kanji. What's the writing called?
Squiggly.
Squiggly.
I don't know, but ignore that guy. Go to the Adam Buxton Mebox. I mean, far better.
His clips may be very good. I'm not impugning
his genius. He's got dirty clips. I wouldn't look at them.
Japanese clips. You're not allowed dirty clips on YouTube.
No, but
there's no filth. There's a lot of swearing. There's a lot of violence, but there's no totties.
Right.
Because that's taking things a little bit too far.
That's too far.
That's much too far. So yes, do check those out. And also, of course, if you go on YouTube, you'll be able to see how the Song Wars video competition is progressing. Because
I haven't seen them yet, and I'm judging this with you lot.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what the deal is, right? We've asked people to choose from one of two songs that are available on the Six Music website, Jane's Brain, which was by me, and Joe's one about meatballs.
Oh, yes, right, I remember those two.
And they're both short tracks, and we're just asking people to make videos. It doesn't matter what kind of video. They can be totally goofy or simple. You do it on your camera phone. You can hire a crew of 150 people, if you like, and, you know, shoot something with Daniel Craig in it. But and that's almost certain to win, incidentally. If you do that, you'll probably win.
Yeah.
And then upload the results to YouTube, and we're going to take a look at them. I think, when are we going to judge it?
In August,
right. So we're going to take a look at everything that's come in August, and the winner...
Oh, that'd be great.
...will get to come in here. Can you imagine? Come into the Big British Castle.
Yeah.
Get past all the lasers and the security
robots.
There are
lasers down there.
Yeah.
There's that nice glass door that you get to walk through. It sort of goes... And you feel special coming through that. So
it goes, and then there's another one after the glass door that goes, ah.
Yes.
Then you walk through.
I used to have a shower in my mum and dad's house, and when you open the door, it would go, and then when you closed it, it would go, and my sister and I, this is like 20 years ago, my sister and I will still like, it'll be a moment where we'll go, just at the table. sorry to deviate there.
That's amazing. So unfortunately you won't be able to hear that noise when you come to the Big British Castle, although we could engineer it so that we should just get you to record
sound
that
effects, yeah.
And then it could be a quirky thing. In the future, that's what it'll be like.
Mm.
You know, to give doors more character.
Well, it was a very Douglas Adams thing. You know, there were doors would sigh as you came through.
Of course.
Oh, like that kind of thing.
That's right.
You know, just like, come on in.
Anyway, the point is, folks, you get to come in. If you win our Song Wars competition, you get to come and sit in on the show. And we'll all hang out. We'll have a big kind of sexy party. And it'll be the most amazing day of all of our lives.
Yeah.
So check out the videos that other people have made, because there's some good stuff up there already. If you type in Song Wars on YouTube, you'll find them. And I'll remind you about Mebox later in the show, and until you're physically sick, in fact. And
no, you're going to love it. It's great.
But right now, here's some more music. Now, Garth, you were saying you haven't got the MGMT album yet.
No.
Are you one of the squares?
I'm a super square. Well, I'm just a very late... I get late to things, you know.
Right.
I haven't seen Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Crusade of the Last Crystal Phase.
No, I don't think I'm ever going to, actually.
No, it's the only film I know some of my friends who have a very high tolerance of bad movies actually left halfway through.
Did they?
Yeah, and they've seen everything. They'll get excited about some of the worst films I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And they couldn't stomach it.
Jumper? Did they love Jumper?
Jumper! Yes!
Anyway, MGMT...
Jumper!
Unusually for me, I've come to MGMT sort of on time, and they're very good. Well, a little bit late, but here's Electric Feel. MGMT, they're so hot right now.
Well, it was nice. I liked it.
That was very good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There's a song note for you listeners. That band are playing Glastonbury. Listen to Six Music for Glastonbury coverage Okay? That was the note. And of course, we're going to be there, Garth. That's exciting.
I've never been to Glastonbury either.
I've never been.
No.
Oh, my lordy. Well,
My friends always go, but they indulge in the dark side of Glastonbury.
Dirty Glastonbury.
Yes. So I've always felt a little afraid to go with them.
Yeah. It's not, I don't think it's really like that anymore.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure it'd be great.
Have you heard my festival song?
No.
That we did for Song Wars. We did festival songs for Song Wars a while back, and mine was kind of the posh festival song. I think that's what Glastonbury's more like nowadays. You know, it's still got some strange, crusty people wandering around, but they're in a special enclosure.
Yes. You can go and have a look at them. Yeah. Oh, look! It's like being at a real festival.
Let's go back to the yurt.
Yes! And, yurts!
And
that's
do some
thing,
yoga. Everyone likes it. What are yurts?
Yurts are like wigwams.
Are they like wigwams?
I think so. They're like proper wigwams, aren't they? Oh, but they're round.
But they're solid, right?
Yeah, and they have a little kitchen.
Cane.
Cane.
From Alien.
The thing is, it's really a tent.
Right.
You know, but it's called a yurt, so people feel good about that, don't they?
So, yes, exactly. What they're doing
is an organic tent.
They're indulging in the tent of another culture.
Yes.
And there's no greater thing to do
than feel a little Nepalese.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're going to go to Glastonbury. It's a weird... You wouldn't maybe want to start your Glastonbury relationship this year, I would think. Do you know what I mean?
Well...
Like, not to damn it with faint praise or anything, or just to be plain rude about it, but it's a strange lineup this year.
I used to watch... I used to do a lot of coverage on the telly.
We did it a couple of years.
Yeah, I used to sit in my bed with a cup of tea and watch it all and think how brilliant it is to watch it from here.
Right, right.
It was terrific. I remember seeing that Radiohead performance, and that was the only time I thought, actually, sitting here isn't really as good as being there.
Yes.
When they turned all the lights on the audience, didn't they?
They were having a very bad gig then, weren't they?
I thought it was amazing.
But, I mean, it was like a legendary gig and everyone loved it, but the band themselves, like, they got fed up because all the sound was weird, and I think Tom was having a little angry fit, and...
I don't know. But it looked good to me with my cup of tea.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about it. Definitely, we're going to be going up on Thursday, and then we're going to spend Friday wandering around the site with our tape recorder, getting bits of things for our show on Saturday, which we'll be doing live from the BBC enclosure at Glastonbury. So if you are going to the festival, then look out for me and Dr. Sexy wandering around on Friday, because it'd be lovely to talk to you. Of course, MGMT will be there. Maybe we'll get to meet the naughty man from MGMT.
Yeah. Do you know if they've got a good reputation or not?
I read a thing in Word magazine about them, and they were sort of implying, I think, that because they're very young fellows, they're still in the phase of behaving slightly like garden tools.
Okay, that sounds good.
You know what I mean?
Foolish.
Like you ask them a question and they won't give you a straight answer. They sort of chuckle to themselves and give like a weird answer. They're basically out to entertain each other and subvert the world.
They're gonna do it.
But yeah, they may succeed. Right now, here is the first of my free choices for you listeners. This is a track by a band called Delakota. Do you remember them?
No.
I'm pretty sure they've split up.
You've put them on a compilation CD in the past, I think.
They had a few hits, and Noel Gallagher was a champion of theirs at the time. This was in the late 90s. And Noel Gallagher's one of those people like Ricky Gervais, you sort of stick his name on anything, and it's like top seal of quality.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case anymore with Gallagher.
Right.
And it's amazing to think that one day it won't be the case with Ricky Gervais.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Such is the cruel passage of taste and time. But I remember Noel Gallagher saying this was one of his favourite singles of whichever year it came out. And I love it still. Delakota, The Rock. Hi, this is the Adam and Joe show here on BBC Six Music. Joe is away at the moment because he's got shingles. It's halfway between a shiver and a tingle.
Yes.
And he's got it. So he is away. Poor old Joe. I hope he's feeling a lot better. And he says that he's going to be in shape to be back with us for our Glastonbury show next weekend. But filling in for him this week, we're very, very honoured indeed to have our good friend Garth Jennings.
Hello there. Thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you here, man.
Oh, it's nice to be here.
Did you enjoy the Pogues there?
I did. I love that. That's superb.
That was a good session track, wasn't it?
I thought that was off a record.
No, that was recorded for Janice Longwave, back in 1985 on Radio 1.
Remember Radio 1.
Yeah, Radio 1 was a different place back in them days, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now it's all like rapping.
It's all that fast rapping.
It's all Edith Bowman happy slapping people. That's what they do on there. And swearing and all that.
Oh,
they're allowed to swear on Radio 1.
Yeah, and fight.
They're allowed to swear and fight, and they all carry knives, and they're all
binge drinkers,
all binge drinking all the time on all the shows. None of this is true.
None of it's true.
Yeah, announcement for idiots. None of this is true.
Yes,
just in case.
But I'd have tuned in actually. I thought, wow, that sounds like a great radio station.
Sometimes the idiots get excited if you say things like that, and they think, oh, I'm going to write to someone about that, because you said they were on drugs and carrying knives, and that's not right. So I'm going to write to someone. But now I've taken away that pleasure from you. I'm sorry, idiot. I'll give you a, I'll give you something else to write about later on, almost certainly. Now, very shortly, we are going to be launching Text the Nation. And Jude, there's going to be some name-dropping involved with the
jingles.
Introduction to Text the Nation.
Oh, yeah.
To put the anecdote in context. So we need some name-dropping sound effects. Mm. And also, of course, when we talk about Radiohead a bit later on, the shows, you know, it's Victoria Park coming up. And well, I mean, I'm allowed to talk, say Radiohead, you know what I mean? I happen to have a personal relationship with them, but I'm still allowed to. Anyway. Oh, God. Now, Cribs. What's the Cribs situation? Cribs? I've never heard of Cribs.
Yeah.
How's this happened? Who are Cribs?
They're a massive band.
They're massive. I thought it was just a show on MTV.
Didn't they have an album saying called Old Fellas? Or the New Fellas?
The Old Todgers.
Something like that.
Was it?
I don't know. But you remember we had that name for our band on my stag do when we did that?
Yeah, we were called the Old Fellas.
We were called I'm sure the Cribs nicked my band's name. Yeah.
The Cribs, I'm obviously getting confused. Are they like the Pigeon Detectives?
A bit.
Yeah.
They're brothers. Three brothers.
They're brothers.
The Harmons.
And they live... Right. And the Harmons. Okay, so they live in a crib, and this is called... of course, we've played Men's Needs before, and they go... and it's wicked. Let's hear it. There you go. Of course. Sorry, I just had a little blank there. Of course I know the Cribs. That's a great song.
Yeah. His whole head has to flip backwards to do that note.
That's right. Like the guy with the flip-top head, the toothbrush guy.
Yeah. And Pez.
Right.
Meds!
Cribs, Pez dispensers
would
be ideal. And if they could fix them so they actually said, meds!
Yeah.
When they flip back.
And you've got a little sweet at the same time.
That would be sweet.
Sweet.
Okay, it's time to play the jingle.
Oh.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Nice to hear someone enjoy. Joe just groans now every time.
I love that jingle.
Okay,
that's
so
text
the Nation this week. It's the Nation's favourite feature if you've never heard the show before. This is the part of the show. We invented this brand new feature. It's incredible. It's won a lot of awards. And it's revolutionary. What we do is we think of a subject and then we ask people to text or email their responses to it.
That's amazing. No wonder you won awards.
But here's the thing that we won a lot of awards for. Then we read them out.
Ooh.
And that's because you always got to have one little extra thing there to make an idea truly great. And that was the thing that we added, which no one else has done before, I believe. Now, this week, we are talking about... well, let me put this in context for you. As I was saying earlier, I was at a Radiohead show on the weekend.
Where was the show at?
The show is in France, which is a part of the world that isn't England. And it's a really amazing place. And the show was in a place called Nîmes in southern France. And it was in this beautiful amphitheatre. Oh, my lordy. And the ladies in the house... it's a whole other subject that I actually want to talk to you about.
The ladies in the amphitheatre?
Radiohead lady fans.
Ooh.
Oh, gosh. I've got something I need to get off my chest about that later on. But I was, because you and I, Garth Jennings, did some work for Radiohead last year. We helped them with their webcasts when they were celebrating the release of In Rainbows. And so because of that, as a thank you, they've given us these passes so we can go to some of their shows for their tour.
Yes.
So I was at the show and afterwards I got to wheedle into the backstage party VIP bit, right?
Right.
Standing next to Natasha Khan from Bat for Lashes. and she was cooing over a little cat
And I joined in and I said, yes, it is sweet. I love you. I love you.
What, she had a cat backstage?
There was a cat wandering around and she was sort of going, oh, look, a cat. And I was going, yes, look, I love the cat. I love you too. She walked away. But
look, I've caught the cat.
Yes. I've got the cat for you, Natasha. What do you want me to do with it? I love you.
And then, of course, various members of the band came out. No sign of Tom. I think he was having a shiatsu massage session.
Right.
Because, man, I don't know if you've seen them, listeners, on this current tour. He jumps around the stage like a nutcase.
I think they are having a good time by the sounds of it. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going next week.
Because a lot of that, they're playing a lot of kind of dancey stuff.
Right.
Mixed in with all the classic Benz and OK Computer style hits. And it's a really kind of dancey show. It's amazing. And Tom York is bouncing around the stage like nobody's business, so I'm sure he needs a lot of massaging after that. A
little bit of healing.
Yeah, but Colin Greenwood, the bassist, he just, he mellows out and he rocks back and forth, so he doesn't go quite so nutty.
Yeah.
And I saw Colin after... Thank you very much.
Direct the show. Yes.
And we were talking about stuff, and Colin suddenly said, hey, you know what I've been meaning to tell you? I've got a really good idea for a Bond film. Well, I think we're talking about Daniel Craig or something. And he said, I've got the best idea for a new Bond villain. Because that's all you need. To make a great Bond film, you need, like, the ultimate Bond villain. Right?
Yes.
And he said, I've got the best idea. You have, like, a rock star, right?
Yeah.
Someone like Bono. And he would be the villain. Uh-huh. You don't have to name drop that. I'm not saying that I've met Bono. But you have someone like Bono, right?
Yeah.
An evil, you know, Mickey Spangle or whatever. And he's in the Spanglers and they're the biggest band on the planet. And so he goes out and he's meeting Kofi Annan and all
the
these
Pope.
People. Exactly, he's meeting the Pope. Yeah. He's got all the connections, right? A massive big rock star like yeah. Bano yeah. has got all...
That's the thing, they'd only change it slightly.
Yeah.
So you'd go, I know who that is, I know who they're getting at.
Yeah, Bonox.
Yeah. Are you allowed to say that? Anyway, Bonox. He'd be good, though.
So he's called Bonox, and he's got fingers in all the pies, right?
Yeah.
But he's not using his rock power for good. He's using it for evil. He wants to take over the planet.
Yes.
I just think that is the best idea for a Bond villain I have heard.
It's a great idea. And you can imagine the gig filled with all the, you know, the flashing images.
Yeah.
Hypnotizing the people.
I mean, it works on so many levels. The challenge, as Colin was saying, is to do it so that you've got good music. You know, it would all yes. hang or it would all rise and fall on how good the music and the rock star is.
But also with a Bond villain, he's got to have a goal. Like, yeah. what's he actually after? Is it revenge?
Well, it's always world domination, isn't it?
Yeah, but I guess it is, yes.
I mean, it'll be... now, maybe there would be some kind of psychological angle to it. So he was yes. rejected by Simon Cowell at a young age. And now he wants to kill everyone on the planet
yes.
to get back at Simon Cowell or something like
also,
that.
Also, you've got the potential there for good chases and a great set piece on a live stage in front of loads of people.
Exactly.
A chase in a gig, a great big Wembley-style massive yeah. arena when he's going to laser the lot of it, everyone there. And there's some chasing.
Right.
Some chasing in the
lasers. The lasers turn out to be real.
The real lasers slice people up. People are putting their hands up to touch the lasers,
yeah.
and their fingertips are coming off.
Oh,
disastrous.
Good times.
Good times.
So, I mean, there's more to be said about that particular Bond villain, but thank you very much, Colin, for that
genius.
Idea. And we, Text the Nation this week, though, folks, is more Bond villains. We want your ideas for more Bond villains. We're going to play some music, and then Garth is going to tell us about some of his ideas.
Oh, I better think more.
But if you'd like
deeply.
To speculate, if you would like to send us some of your ideas for new Bond villains, the text number is 64046, or you can email us your ideas, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Get texting or emailing right now. And here's another band that I'm only just familiar with. Are the band called Paris is Burning, or are they called Lady Hawk?
Lady Hawk.
They're called Lady, so they're naming bands after quite bad films from the 80s.
Lady Hawk. Has anyone done a band called Krull yet?
It's only a matter of time.
It's only a matter. I bet there is one.
Here's Paris is Burning. Paris is Burning by Lady Hawk. I wonder if... Is that about Paris Hilton? No.
No.
this is the Adam and Joe program here on BBC Six Music. If you've just tuned in, Joe is away sick. He's got the shingles. And he's going to be back with us next weekend when we're in Glastonbury. But filling in for him is Garth Jennings.
Hello there. Yes, I'm sitting in for poor old Joe.
Garth Jennings, of course, top pop video director and most recently director of Son of Rambo.
Yes, I did that.
Out on DVD soon, surely.
It's out on the 28th of July, but I'm not here to plug that.
No, 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 absolutely. It just occurred to me, though.
It is out, so it's kind of weird when it comes out on DVD, because you start thinking, that's it?
Right.
That's sort of the end
it's
of the
all
line.
Over.
It's all over, which isn't a bad thing, actually. It's been 8 years
it's
since we started.
It's not the end of the line. It's the beginning, man. It has a life
it's
there
the
as part
true.
Of the canon of great art. but right now, we are in the midst of Text the Nation, and we are asking you for your ideas for new Bond villains.
I tell you what, actually, you just mentioned Paris Hilton. She wouldn't be a bad kind of Bond villain, sort of celebrity heiress.
Well, the obvious thing with her would be to have her as one of Daniel Craig's kind of hangers-on in some casino.
Yep.
Or she would be one of the floozies of the villain.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Because she's not really got the mental equipment to deal with world domination.
But that's probably why... That would give her the edge, you see, because she's so angry at being stupid.
Yes.
And she thinks, right, I want to make everyone stupid with my giant laser.
With my thick ray.
With my thick ray. Or this... Yeah. You know, that's why she has so many parties, because there's a glitter ball and you can... radiate stuff off the glitter ball. I don't know, but I was thinking the same along the same lines as your you know, as Colin's Bono idea.
Yeah, because it's hard to beat, let's face it.
Well, yeah, because I was thinking David Blaine type character, because I can't stand David Blaine. I mean, I know most people like him and he's great, and for a lot of people he drives me mental.
Yeah,
in his little I can't breathe, you know, but I can breathe, and oh, is it a trick? And oh, someone like that would I think would make a good Bond villain.
You're just jealous. You're one of these people who gets infuriated by people who can do things you can't.
They could stand on on one leg for 3 weeks. No, I don't mind him doing the tricks. It's the how seriously he takes himself. And cries a lot. I made it. Be like, yeah, well, get out of there, you fool box.
If he didn't do that, if you know, he's got to take the thing seriously. Otherwise, no one is going to take them seriously. You know what I mean? So he's got to take them as seriously as it's possible.
My favourite thing ever was somebody in England when he hung himself off a bridge in England or did something in a box.
Oh, yes, in the Perspex box.
And anywhere else in the world, in America, they would have gathered around and taken pictures and all that sort of stuff. In England, somebody took a barbecue and started cooking bacon underneath it just to annoy him, because right. It's the best smell in the world. I always thought that was a great idea. But then I had J.K. Rowling, a sort of children's author of unbelievable success, writing books, changing people's minds, and then I ran out of really pitch ideas on that.
J.K. Rowling as a Bond villain?
Yes, not as somebody to annoy David Blaine, but as a kind of, you know, somebody in great deal of power that could misuse it.
Absolutely. Well, I was thinking that the key ingredients for a good Bond villain are, obviously, as you say, they have to be in a position of power, but also it has to be a position where people feel a natural kind of antipathy for that job, you know what I mean? So in the past, who was it? Jonathan Pryce played the guy
like a sort of Murdoch character.
Yeah, he was a big press baron in Tomorrow.
Do you remember him? The thing about that annoyed me was when he used to type on that remote control keyboard, and he'd just have it in his hand, and he'd be looking at Bond and going with his right hand. It used to really annoy me.
His big arm mounted.
All his screens would change.
His arm mounted BlackBerry. Yes. I've had my BlackBerry melded to my arm. Because I'm powerful and insane. And now I've got an iPod in my forehead. Of course, there are other MP3 players available. What are the other ones?
You're right. And there's also something kind of current about them.
What did Robert Carlyle do? What was his job in that one?
Oh, he didn't he have some diamonds in his face? No, that's the other guy.
He had a bullet in his head. But what was his job, though? I mean,
he was a Bolshevik.
He was a big, powerful Bolshevik. How did he have the wherewithal to do all the world conquering? Like, had he worked his way up through the Bolsheviks into executive Bolshevism?
I don't know.
Got a really high
power. That was definitely still the generation of those films, though, where you didn't really care what the thing was.
No.
You were just waiting for the next big explosion.
Exactly. Whereas now, I think, I mean, the Jonathan Pryce one was pretty good, I thought.
I liked those films.
As a goofy.
The last few, what's his name? Pierce Brosnan films were great. And I liked Casino Royale. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And my only last one I had was, you know, these sort of internet barons.
Mm.
It's similar to that, really, what you're saying.
Like those two nerds from YouTube.
Yeah, I was thinking, but you see it on the news, like a 15-year-old has set up a website. I love the idea of Bond going up against a kid.
That's
And I started thinking, oh, like a stage school kid, he could be good. Like, he won, he didn't win, you know, have I got, you know, Oliver for you.
Absolutely.
And, Or an internet kid who's invented a website, but he's really secretly, he's doing nasty things with
That's a very good idea. And Danny Craig bursts into his room and tears all his emo posters off the wall.
Yes.
Starts kicking seven shades of crapola out of him.
Yeah.
That's a very good idea. I was thinking maybe like an art world villain. Sort of Tracy Emin type figure.
All good.
Do you know what I mean?
Leaving her stinky pants on the floor.
Exactly. Covering the world with her filthy linen. I like Tracy Emin.
Yeah,
I think she's an entertaining provocateur and a talented, slightly wonky woman. And, you know, I like that kind of thing anyway.
That's a great review.
But
it sounds like some of my reviews, actually.
But, you know, you could have a real evil type of art figure.
Who yeah. Would,
anyway, we want to hear your ideas, folks. We're going to be reading out some of the texts and emails that we've got shortly. But right now, what is this?
Oh, this is one of my free plays.
Ah, yeah.
I'm not going to say anything more about this than introduce it, and it's Lamb Chop, and the song's called Is a Woman.
Now, that is not Is a Woman. What is this?
I have been jinxed by some...
This
is like standing in a lift in a hotel somewhere. I don't know who this is, and I can only apologise, listener, that...
Sometimes...
Something's going wrong with my
free
plays.
The BBC box gets a little confused. So we're going to play my one instead, and we'll dig Lamb Chop out of the box, because Lamb Chop, that is a wonderful track by Lamb Chop, so we'll find it for you, listeners. Right now, here's one of my free plays. This is Brendan Benson. This is before he got together with Jack White and the Raconteurs, and I think I'm right in saying that he co-wrote this with the wonderful Jason Faulkner, who used to be in Jellyfish and is a great artist in his own right, and it's a track called Good to Me by Brendan Benson. Nice! That's Brendan Benson with Good to Me. You're listening to BBC Six Music. It's a slightly grey Saturday morning here, and apparently it's going to be slightly rubbish weather over the weekend.
If my dad were here, he'd say, don't worry, it's all going to burn off.
Yeah, that's one of my favourite
Wear your
phrases.
Shorts, you'll thank me later. That's what he used to say. As you're standing in the driving rain. Thank you, Father.
It'll burn off.
It'll burn off. This'll burn off. You mark my words. You wait, this afternoon, it'll be glorious out there.
Apparently it's not going to burn off. Apparently it's going to be rubbish all weekend, but they're slightly better next weekend. Thanks very much, Al Gore. Thanks. Thanks for ruining the climate. I was just thinking, because yesterday there was like spits and spots of sunshine, and or maybe
it was
the
lovely.
Day, maybe the day before,
yeah.
And I was sat out in the garden. I thought, I'm going to have my lunch in that garden, and I said it in exactly that way to myself. And I walked out with my lunch, and I had a nice little bit of salmon,
ooh,
bit of boiled salmon there, boiled it all up, and had some broccoli. I love broccoli.
Yes.
And had some carrots there as well, and I put them all on a plate, and I carried them out into the garden and popped it on the table. And I thought, I've got nothing to read. I can't sit out in the garden with my salmon and my broccoli and nothing to read. So I went in, grabbed my copy of Mojo Mag or whatever, and came out. And there was flies sat on the salmon and the broccoli. Three large black flies.
Laughing at you.
I don't know what they were doing. They were
your lunch.
Having a fly party there. And the thing is, I'd taken about a minute to locate my mag inside. So by the time I got out there, the flies had been having a fly party for a good 60 seconds, right?
Yes.
So I thought, well, this is revolting now, because they could have done all sorts of fly pop all over the salmon.
Yeah.
So I don't want to have to eat that, because then, I don't know, I'll die, or flies will grow inside
shingles.
Me. Or I'll get shingles. Or that kind of thing. What would you do in that? Would you just shoo them away and not worry?
I'd shoo them away, and if I could see anything... If they'd sort of dropped dirt on it.
You can't see visual fly pops, though.
Exactly, I'd just eat it.
You would just eat it?
Yeah, I would.
I mean, obviously, things are worse for people in certain third world countries, I would imagine.
Yeah, they'd smack you up.
But for Dr. Buckles.
I think I know where Dr. Buckles is going with this.
For Dr. Buckles, 60 seconds of fly action on my salmon was too much. So I carried it back into the house, and I hosed it down under the tap, the whole plate.
Wow.
I just ran the whole plate under the tap all over my broccoli and carrots and salmon. And I had to hold everything in place so it didn't just swish off down the plug hole. And then I sort of felt better about it, but, you know, it ruined the meal.
When you think about it, though, germs are everywhere.
Are they?
I reckon, you know, was your magazine, by the way, was your magazine in the toilet where most of your music magazines are?
Maybe.
Because you might find there's more germs on your magazine than there is on your salmon.
That's a good point, isn't
it? Yeah. And the minute you start going that way with your brain, the whole world becomes terrifying.
That is true. Speaking of the whole world becoming terrifying, it's 10:30 and time for the news.
On digital radio and online, BBC Six Music.
I actually run most of my household appliances off anger. It's very efficient form of energy, very cheap.
You just plug straight into that record and the whole house lights up.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it doesn't power things for that long. Like, you get a very bright light for about 5 minutes and then it sort of fades out. And it's not so, it's good for things like toast.
Yeah.
Anger. But
you have to have the right level, otherwise you're going to burn that.
Exactly.
Toast. Yeah.
You know, if you're planning a whole evening of football watching, if you love the footy and the kicking, you wouldn't really want to run your TV on anger for
just
that.
Just misery. A little misery could keep it going.
Misery would probably work.
Yeah.
It would work absolutely fine.
Just keeps level.
Bit of Morrissey, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Joe's away, of course, listeners. Sorry, I should stop saying it's Adam and Joe, because technically it's not true. But it's the Adam and Joe slot.
It's the Adam and Joe show with Garth Jennings, that's me, standing in for Joe. Because he's got shingles.
It's got shingles. It's shingling. Once you pop, you can't stop.
Shingles, you know?
Yeah, anyway. It's good work.
Thank you very much. Thanks very much indeed.
Terrific.
So I was saying earlier on that I've got the show Me Box coming out tomorrow. It's on BBC Three tomorrow night, Sunday night at 11:45 p.m. If you miss it, of course, you can catch it on iPlayer throughout the week. And then I think they repeat it on Thursday next week. Guess what slot I've got then?
What slot?
1:30 in the morning.
Wonderful.
It's the best slot.
It's an exciting, edgy slot.
It's the plum
slot. I tell you what, though, I am a viewer of this. I've seen this show, and it's brilliant.
Thanks.
And I'm not just saying that because I'm on your radio show. I've been telling everyone.
Yeah.
Even my mum.
Thanks
to watch it. And they're going to. It's fantastic.
You know, because the nabobs at the Big British Castle are looking out for the buzz. Because, I mean, it's... Let's face facts. At that hour on BBC Three... it's not going to get massive ratings, but they're looking out for the buzz. They want to know the buzz.
The buzz?
You know, and if they feel or sense any buzz, they're going to reward me with a big gold house. and that's what it's all about.
Adam's wanted a gold house now for so many years, it would be unfair to deprive him of this.
It is my dream to one day live in a gold house. but what I was going to say is that I'm doing a certain amount of promotion, obviously. This is promotion right here, shameless as such. And I'm also going on other people's shows to try and get people to watch the programme.
Right.
Sometimes it's easy to do. Sometimes, you know, people are obliging. I'm going on Rich and Judy's show on Monday.
But they like you because they've had you on for some of your weird clips already.
They're down with the whole program, R&J.
R&J.
I did a clip with their You Say We Pay thing, which see on YouTube, and Rich and Judy invited me on the show to play it. You know, they are grooving and they wear roller skates, is what I'm saying. They're fantastic. But other shows are more difficult to wheedle your way in on, like Jonathan Ross. He's got
the radio show.
Yeah, the radio show. There's no question of me getting on the TV show, but the radio show, he's got like a full roster this week. But his producer, Fiona, very kindly said, if I turn up there after this show, if I go up a couple of floors in the Big British Castle and sort of glom around outside his studio, then if they've got any time, they might let me into the studio just to plug my show. It's a little bit humiliating.
Right.
But I don't really care. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? I go up there and I have to watch David Hasselhoff or whoever he's got up there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, getting insulted by Jonathan for...
You've lost weight.
Exactly. Look at you. Or, if I did get on the show, right?
Yeah.
First thing, I bet you he'd say, cool, you put on weight.
You've put on weight.
You put on a bit of weight, haven't you? You're looking very old. You got older since I last saw you.
Have you been tempted by the same sex?
That's normally what I hear when I tune in.
Never heard him say that.
Sort of goes that way, you know. It's always funny.
He's a genius. But I bet you if I make it on there, that's exactly what he'll say.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and get on there. Do you think that's too humiliating? What's the most humiliating thing you've done in the name of promotion?
Oh, I've done too much of it. In fact, after I was last on here, we had to go and do a whole press tour around America.
Right.
And it was very sort of silly tour. And you find yourself in the most terrible... I found myself in a high school... and I hadn't questioned why we were going there. I was just going to everything that they were telling us to go.
Whereabouts in America was this?
I think it was somewhere in Texas.
Yeah.
And you turn up and you immediately get the creeps because it looks like all those schools where they go mad. Yeah. And you go in and the poor kids hadn't... I thought they'd seen the film and that we were going in to discuss it with
this
their
film.
This was
for Son of Rambo.
For Son of Rambo. Yeah. I'm sorry, yes, we were doing a promotion tour for this film in America. And in fact, a lot of good that did. I'll tell you all about that in a minute. But then, complete waste of time. But I can't stop laughing now. But anyway, we turn up at this high school, and all these kids are looking at us, and I said, so have you seen the film? And they said, no. And so we had to sort of wing it for about an hour in there, just discussing sort of
films
and how we got into it. And they just weren't interested. And I was thinking, why would you be interested? And the poor teacher was going, oh, that sounds exciting. Tell us about
what Tell us about like- England.
Yes. No, it really was like that kind of thing. And you say, oh, well, this is how we got. Oh, it was just excruciating. That and a breakfast television show in Austin, I think it was.
Yeah.
No, Atlanta. This guy with this orange face going, right now. We got a couple of guys from the UK. They're coming in from the UK. And we would sit there and he'd interview us in this sort of like pretend house. And then, but waiting to come on after us was a crocodile, a monkey, and a raccoon. And a real ones. And this guy, and all you could see was him going, couple of critters loose in the studio any minute. And they just weren't interested in us at all. They were just so excited about the monkey and the raccoon and the crocodile. And
of
things
course.
Like that. You find yourself just in stupid places doing stupid rubbish things.
What was the crocodile, monkey, and raccoon film called?
No, it wasn't a film. They were actually real creatures in the studio.
Hadn't even made a film.
No, they were just saying, you know, isn't it crazy? Maybe they're having an animal day,
yeah.
You know, in the city. Something like that. You never know. You just wind up with really weird things.
There you go. So what you got to do to spread the word. Anyway, so that's what I'm going to be doing afterwards is kowtowing to Jonathan. Right now, here is some Weezer for you. We were talking about this track earlier on. This is the one where is it a tribute or a diss to Timbaland? What do
I
you
think
say?
It's a very clever diss.
It's a very clever diss. This is Pork and Beans from Weezer. Well done. That's Weezer with Pork and Beans. And of course, we were saying that's the video on there is all the kind of the tribute to all the YouTube, the big virals on YouTube. You've seen the video, right?
Yeah, they've got everything that was ever a hit on YouTube and put it into one video.
And
but for real, they've actually got the people, haven't they?
Right. They've gone and got Tay Zonday, who did Chocolate Rain. They've got him singing the lyrics and everything like that.
That useless karate chap who keeps falling over.
Yeah, and the Numa Numa man. I never understood that one.
Understand that one. And the stressed out hamster, the sort of scary, threatening hamster.
Yes. And the Mentos and Coke guy.
Yeah.
Never really understood that one either.
Well, it's just an experiment.
It's an experiment.
Yes.
It's a fun experiment.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's used to great effect in the video. It's a really
yes.
entertaining video. Anyway, we are in the middle of Text the Nation right now, ladies and gentlemen. We're asking you for your ideas for new Bond villains. And should we play the jingle?
Oh, yeah.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
It's like having a little child in the studio.
My wife hates it when I just laugh at everything you say. Don't you sound like a lemon?
It's nice. It's nice. No. Joe usually sits there scowling at me and making faces.
It's your voice in that middle bit. It doesn't matter. Text.
So we got some great ideas coming in here. Thank you very much to everyone who's texting and emailing. We do get so many that if we don't read yours out, it's not a personal thing and we don't want a physical fight with you. But we really appreciate all the messages that we get. Here's one from Daniel in Blackpool. He says from the off, I can't think of a villain, but how about a henchman, which is a good idea as well. Henchmen are allowed.
Like, odd job. He was really the, you know,
he's the king of the henchmen.
Yeah.
And who were those two slightly effeminate chaps who were in...
Oh, Big Cook, Little Cook.
They were very similar. What were they called?
They were deadly.
They were a bit like Penn and Teller.
One was small and could creep...
Big Cook, Little Cook would be excellent henchmen in a Bond film. That's a very good
idea. I'm sorry to my children if you're listening to...
Are they still obsessed with Big Cook, Little Cook?
They still go down well in our house.
People love it, man.
Yeah.
You know, those two guys are stand-up comedians. In fact, I think they host a show on maybe Nuts
TV or
something.
Oh, what? They do stuff outside of that show?
Yeah, but they do grown-up saucy stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That would be weird for me to see.
I don't like it when people do that. I think you stick to one thing, man. If you're going to do kids' TV, and they do a great job doing it, then you do that. You're not allowed to swear and be weird and talk about women's totties and stuff like that. Not having it. So Daniel in Blackpool says, I can't think of a villain, but how about a henchman? My idea is for an 8-year-old orphan boy who performs complex and amazing stunts on a BMX bike to attack 007. His name, and this is the key bit, is Tricknuts.
Sending in trick nuts.
Okay, boss.
He's got to talk like that, hasn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Daniel, thank you very much. That's an excellent idea. A few people, of course, have suggested Alan Sugar as being a Bond villain. Did you watch The Apprentice, Garth?
No, you see, I have a thing about The Apprentice.
What's your problem?
Well, I used to work as a teenager. There was a clothes shop up the road, and I used to work in there, and I grew up in Essex. So I'm an Essex boy.
Yeah.
And Alan Sugar would come in with his naughty sons.
Yeah.
And it was always when the boss of the shop had gone out, and he'd load up the table with all the shirts, Martinique, you know, or new man and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then he'd say, the owner of the shop normally gives me about 20% discount. And I go, I'm sorry, I can't do the discounts unless he's here.
No way, he was
and
haggling.
He'd give me a hard time. And I remember thinking, I don't like you, Amstrad man. And then, actually, that's not why I don't watch the show. I'm sure he's good fun.
Can you believe it? That's how you get rich and successful, man, is you just are a pain in the bottom all the time.
Yeah,
and haggle with everyone.
I remember thinking, wow, he's really... He's good at this. Because I'm weak and I'm starting to sweat.
Did you stand up to him, though? Did you give him the discount?
I couldn't give him the discount, but I would just have that awful... You know, it's like that computer says, no, I just went into that mode. So sort of, yeah. I can't. I'm sorry, I can't.
That I can't.
Sorry, can't. Ness Neil's here.
Well, Ben Lacey, who is listening with his wife in Palmer's Green, suggested Alan Sugar. Thanks for that. And also, who is this down here? What about Alan Sugar? I'm just trying to see who this is from. It doesn't actually say. What about Alan Sugar as a Bond villain? You're fired, of course he would say, because that's what Alan Sugar says. And then, you know, he would be lowered down into a shark pool under the Amstrad office. And, of course, he's got sidekicks already, very effective sidekicks.
That's true.
So he's got his henchmen in place and everything. And I like the... Everyone likes the idea of Daniel Craig just beating Alan Sugar.
Yeah.
Badly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, giving him a bad
and
beating.
Then, of course, saying at the end, no, you're fired.
Yeah, exactly.
Or just pointing his finger.
There you
it's
go.
All about the company. Like somebody wrote a thing about somebody with turning out to be a gorilla,
uh-huh.
And then Bond saying, "You're bananas."
That's rubbish.
Exactly, but I just, you know, it's the
I mean,
idea.
That kind of thing might float in an Arnold Schwarzenegger film.
That's true.
But not for Bond. Bond, he does a better class of pun these days.
He is good.
But I was just thinking, with Alan Sugar, when he points his finger,
yes,
could have a little bit, the tip of the finger could raise up and he's got like a little laser.
Oh, you know what? They did that in the posters, didn't they? They had it in the posters like it was a smoking gun, that finger.
There you go.
And he would actually do that. That's the thing. No one knows how he's shooting people, but he says, you're fired, bang!
That's an excellent idea.
Yeah. I've got one here. I don't know who it's... Oh, it's Graham from Inverness. Bond's own love child. Years of putting it about. Come back tenfold to haunt 007 in the form of an evil teenager.
That's a brilliant idea.
It is a good one, isn't it? You never loved me!
That's a
he's
genius
he's an opera
idea.
Singer as well now. he's a West End
No, but
musical.
That makes total sense because, yeah. Of course, all those no years of unprotected... fun he was having with all the dirty agents.
Yes.
What's that film called? The Lady Agents? That's just come out.
Lady
about the
Agents?
Yeah. Have you not seen the posters?
No, you're lying.
Oh, with all...
Lady Agents.
Beautiful. It's called something like the Lady Agents.
Really?
Yeah. Or the Sexy Agents or the...
Female agents.
The female agents. That's technically females are ladies though, right? I mean, I think they should have called it the lady agents, but there you go. Maybe it would have sounded more like a kind of feminine hygiene product. But it looks like a good film.
No, I'm all for that. Well done, Graham and Inverness.
Here's one more before we play some more music. We'll read out some more of these later on. This is from Paul Armstrong in Norwich. Yo, 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 Norwich, keep it real. He hasn't written that. I'm just saying that to all my peeps in Norwich. My
always
idea,
appreciate that.
Yeah. My idea for a Bond villain is an amazing chess grandmaster. Good idea. Who is a master strategist, you see? Brilliant.
Yes.
And he uses his strategism skills to kill all the horses. Oh, I see. Kill all horses, knock down castles, and defrock all bishops. So it's all chess-based violence that he's meeting out.
Oh,
here,
I see.
You know, any kind of chess-based dastardly deeds is what this guy would be into. And we would definitely have a tense chess scene between the White Bishop and Bond. The White Bishop would be the name of the villain, you see,
yes.
Says Paul. And just like, it would be just like the poker bit in Casino Royale, very tense chess off. And there'd be lots
That's
of...
That's what they could call the film.
Chess off. Tense chess off.
Yes.
At the,
or
maybe,
checkmate.
Well, maybe, exact checkmate is nice. Maybe the guy's name could be chess off.
Yes.
Vladimir chess off.
Or check, and you go, oi, check. Mate, no, it doesn't quite work. I'll work on that one. I'll come back to
you. From the Czech Republic.
Yes.
And of course, says Paul, there's lots of scope for Bond puns. Perhaps not including, he should have spent more time watching his porn. Or, I certainly bashed the bishop. No, they wouldn't have that one.
That's terrible.
That's a disgrace.
Oh,
but thank
gracious.
You very much for that one, Paul. Right now, folks, here's some music for you. I've chosen this. This is a band, I would say they are maybe one of the most maligned bands in the rock pantheon.
It doesn't get better than this band.
I'm talking about the Electric Light Orchestra. And for many, they are a byword for sort of just crappy music. But I heartily disagree.
They're amazing.
And they are
especially
great.
Especially this one. This is well chosen.
Well, this is a weird, interesting case in point, because it's Living Thing by ELO. And it's like the perfect song. But I would say that maybe the chorus is a little rubbish. Or maybe if you...
Oh, no, it's not.
If you substituted the lyrics Living Thing for something else. Living Thing is a little bit naff, do you know?
Well, I never questioned it till now.
But this is nitpicking.
But what
an
intro. This is how you start a record.
Yeah, let's hear it. That's Neon, a.k.a. Gruff Rhys from Super Furry Animals, and that track is called I Told Her on Alderaan, which is, of course, Princess Leia's home planet, as Garth pointed out.
Yes. Which gets blown up.
Which gets blown up.
Governor Dogan.
That's right.
I recognised your foul stench.
Peter Cushing. I mean, he's one of the great villains, of course.
You couldn't do CGI with that guy.
We're going to read some more of your texts shortly. Keep them coming in on the subject of Bond villains, which is our Text the Nation subject this week. We've got some very good ones coming in.
They've been brilliant.
And someone has just sent a message saying that apparently Lou Reed is on Jonathan Ross's show. I mean, I probably shouldn't say that.
Don't turn over.
Don't want people turning over.
He's not talking or anything. He's just there.
You can do Listen Again for Jonathan's show. Listen to us live and listen again for Jonathan, but that would be pretty wild if I bumped into Grumpy Lou Reed, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to be one of the scariest figures in rock.
Especially if you go in there really happy. Hey!
What do you think he's going to make of Jonathan? I wonder if they've met before.
Hasn't Jonathan met everyone now?
He probably has.
Yes.
Because you don't know, with someone like Lou Reed, he might find Jonathan extremely funny, or he might just decide, I'm not having this.
Does he still wear those flip-up glasses?
He's looking very good at the moment,
yes.
Lou Reed. Yeah, because he went through a phase in the 80s of looking like an absolute lunatic, and he had a kind of big, mad afro and stupid, big aviator shades, and he wore kind of...
Last Great American Whale, that song. I remember that time he was wearing those,
right?
That song. You're looking at me like, what are you talking about?
No, I remember that. That was one of the good songs, though. Do you remember?
Yeah.
My Red Joystick, my Red Joystick. Joystick. All I'm asking you to leave me is my red joystick.
That's good stuff.
That was one of his barrel scraping numbers. But no, he looks amazing at the moment. I guess he's in town to promote these Berlin concerts he's doing. Like he's playing the whole of his album Berlin.
Right.
Apparently it's amazing. He's been doing it around the world and it's supposed to be good. So
is Danger Mouse working on that one?
Surely.
Yeah.
You would think so. Maybe Penfold.
Good grief.
If Danger Mouse was busy,
yeah,
he would get it. So I might bump into Scary Lou Reed later.
That'd be
on.
Good.
Oh,
let
my
me know how. You've
gosh.
Got to phone me after that one.
You know, I one time I was in Edinburgh and I was going to some crazy party or other. And here's a name drop for you, Jude. And Kevin Bishop.
Oh, Dexy's Midnight Runners?
From, no. It's Kevin Rowland.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Bishop is one
I was just my mum for a second there.
For our younger audience who watch Star Stories. He's one of the stars of Channel 4's successful Star Stories. He's very talented. Anyway, he's a nice guy, and I worked with him a long time ago. And he was doing this filming job out in Spain, and he went to this festival called Benicassim there. And he was telling me all about it. He said it was amazing. I was in the backstage area and I ran into Lou Reed, who was playing at Benicassim that year. And he said, and Lou Reed had seen the show that we did together, which was called The Last Chances. It was about,
right,
it was about a terrible band in Brighton. And Kevin Bishop said, yeah, Lou Reed had seen The Last Chances. What are the, you know, can you believe it? And I was like, no, how would he see The Last Chances? He said, oh, you know, he saw it on DVD or something. The BBC sent him a copy and he saw it and he said he loved it. He said it was one of the best things he'd ever seen. And he said, you've absolutely captured what it's like being in a band. I was like, you are joking. This is amazing. I was on a high for like months until I bumped into Kevin Bishop again. And I was like, I still can't believe about Lou Reed. And he's like, oh man, I was just winding you up.
Oh no.
Of course Lou Reed hasn't seen. He said no one saw The Last Chances. Why would Lou Reed see it?
That's appalling.
And I was genuinely furious with him for ages.
Did you fight him? Like, you know, I know how you're prone to throw a punch.
I just said, you're a prat. Do you know how happy it made me that Lou Reed had seen a show that I'd done?
Yeah.
And it was a lie. I hate you, Kevin Bishop. You're not funny in any way. And
yeah,
Star Stories is a load of old poo.
And I'm never going to listen to Dexy's Midnight Runners ever again.
Now, we've dug out your lamb chop track, Garth.
Thanks, everyone.
And before you play this, I should say as well, folks, if you've never seen the video for this as well,
goodness,
you should look up Is a Woman by Lamb Chop on YouTube, because it is a beautiful...
It's one of the best videos ever made, yeah. And it's for a track I would never even touch as far as a video, because I wouldn't be able to think of anything that could go, that could complement such a lovely song. But they, the boys from Shinola, the amazing Shinola, have made a video for it, and it's incredible. But should we hear why?
Yeah, this is a Woman by Lamb Chop. Oh, it's a peach. Take a bite of peach.
That's delicious.
Lamb Chop. What's the name of that album? It's called Is a Woman, isn't it? Yeah.
It's just the perfect song for a day like this, don't you think?
Yeah, and that song also, that album also contains the track My Blue Wave that we played a few weeks ago here, and that is similarly amazing. You've got to get that album if you don't have it, listeners. Mm. It's a smash. What strange lyrics on there as well.
More than a Sony.
Yeah, what does he say?
Make the word throw up.
What the heck is he talking about there?
I don't mind, though.
He's trying to make it whole with everybody here, more than a Sony, to make the words throw up.
What does he mean? See, the trouble is, you read it out now, you start to take away a little bit of the magic.
You do. You remove it. Can you pop the magic back, please?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Now, we are in the midst of Text the Nation.
Oh, yeah.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Tapping your legs again. Sorry, did that go out on air, what I just said?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
It all goes out. Are you my touching Claire's legs?
No, my cord of my headphone is wrapped up in your legs.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they all
say. Come on. Seriously, it's yanking on my ears.
Okay.
We're okay now, we're sorted.
Now, we've asked you listeners to send in your ideas for new Bond villains. What is the name of the new Bond film?
The Quantum of Solace. Solace.
You have to add
your own reverb at the end every time you say it.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> Quantum of Solace. And someone, Laura, has texted in, surely Gillian McKeith would be a great Bond villain. Just spiking people with her scrawny body. People don't like scrawny. It's like Sarah Jessica Parker. You know, she's one of those people. There's a huge amount of unreasonable antipathy towards poor old Sarah Jessica Parker because she is a scrawny woman. I don't know if she engineers it by exercising too much, but she certainly is a kind of scrawny person. People have a very low tolerance for the scrawny these days. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They just think, you're scrawny. Look at you. You're scrawny. It's a disgrace. You know, they love thin people. That's great. Thin models, whatever. But you got to keep it on the right side of scrawny. If you get into the scrawny world,
they start seeing ligaments coming through.
That's right.
That's not good.
Bones. Yes. Popping out. Yeah.
They're on to you.
They're not having it.
Oh, golly.
So,
why did I say that?
People have suggested as well, Trini and Susanna, similar sort of thing, you know, as villains. Mm. They could be good henchmen. And someone has reminded us that the Bond henchmen we were talking about earlier on, who had the slightly effeminate relationship, were called Mr. Kidd and Mr. Wint.
What on earth was that?
Do you remember them?
No, which film was that? Is that Sean Connery?
I think it was one of the Connery ones, yeah.
Can't help when you say Sean Connery.
What's a Daniel... How would you do a Daniel Craig impression?
I don't know.
It's not so
He's
easy.
Very good. In fact, I wouldn't do a voice. I'd do a face.
He's craggy. You do your craggy. Best craggy face.
Daniel
My mum says, he's too craggy.
I think he's brilliant.
But he's attractive, though. Look at the body on that man. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
When he gets out of the water.
Hi, Adam and Garth.
Hello.
Says Liz.
Hello, Liz.
My new Bond villain is a dysfunctional town planner who creates spaces designed to make people angry. Now, that's a good idea.
That's a very good idea.
The world's major cities are flooded by tsunamis of rage. Bond's implacable suavity enables him to create little oases of calm and sexy repartee so that the builders can redevelop. It's sort of insane, Liz, what you've sent us there. But I like the idea. I like the idea of town planners because they are a good, focus of people's rage, aren't they? And they're in a position of immense power and they abuse it all too often. Let's face it. Carbuncles they're creating often. Carbuncles! Have you got any there?
I haven't got any that I want to read without being slapped. There's some dirty ones.
Too dirty.
But there's some good ones. How about... Well, one guy just wants... He thinks his children are so annoying that they'd be perfect Bond villains.
Well, it would be nice. Did you say villains there?
Villains. Is that not what they're called?
Bond villains.
That's what they call him around my house. He's a dirty villain.
Oh, look how he's a dirty villain.
Yeah.
Well, here's one more for you right now for the time being. Michelle and Al. Thank you, Michelle and Al, for this. Jeremy Kyle, obviously. I mean, that was staring us right in the face.
Yes.
As a brilliant Bond villain, he practices mind control on his guests, and he creates an army of single mums and binge-drinking women, and they vote for him to become an evil prime minister, and then he rules Britain. And he rules over a Britain of filthy fun.
Do you think, what kind of gadget could he have, though? Because all these guys have got to have their quirky gadget.
He would, a lie like detector. The laser lie detector.
Yep.
And he would carry it around with him, and he would just do lie detector tests on all the heads of state.
Good.
And they would always fail. And
you could have a microphone that when he holds it under your mouth for you to speak, you just start to cry. And you can't stop. And that's how he gets Bond in the end, because Bond's all tough.
Or the top of the microphone flips off and just a big knife comes through the end he's talking to people. Thank you very much for all your suggestions thus far. We'll wrap up Text the Nation shortly, I think. This is the Adam and Joe show here on BBC Six Music with Garth filling in for a ailing Joe. Although I hear he's going to be back with us next week when we're in Glastonbury. I think we've got a Glastonbury trail here, don't we? This is exciting. Here it is. A little bit of shouting in the background there from the unruly lady from the Arcade Fire. That was Neighbourhood number 2, brackets, Laika. Now it's time to wrap up Text the Nation. Thank you so much for all your texts and emails on the subject of new Bond villains. And here's just a couple more before we conclude Text the Nation this week. Let's see. Alex in Shrewsbury says, Bond villain, a giant cat with a little man on her lap.
That's terrific. That's my favourite idea already.
That's a very good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Alex. Someone else says, this is anonymous, Joe Wiley is definitely a good villain. You could have her with eyes that slowly sink into her head when she's in deep evil plan-making mode.
That's good, too. I still love the giant cat.
I know. I love Joe Wiley anyway.
Yeah.
There's something glacial about her, I suppose. Her and Cate Blanket. You know?
Yes.
They're sort of, I mean, she's the villain in the Indiana Jones film, isn't she? Cate Blanchett.
Yes, I haven't seen it though.
And I guess she'd make a good villain because she is, she's beautiful, but evil beautiful.
Ice cold.
Let's see. I had another one written down here somewhere. Oh yes, here we go. This is the final one. Again, anonymous. Bond villain, old lady who's knitting a scarf to wrap around the world.
That's ridiculous.
You know, she's going to wrap it. Oh, that is... Why did I even read that one?
That was really crazy.
Insane. And then off the subject of Bond villains, we were talking about flies earlier on. Someone said, I found a dead fly at the bottom of my tortellini and threw up.
Yes, it's not nice finding dead things in your food. That's different, though, to having a fly just sort of scoop past.
But anyway, thank you very much indeed for all your texts and emails for Text the Nation this week. And now, Garth, we have another music choice from you, I think.
Yeah, another laid-back one. This is The Rip by Portishead.
That is both brills and skills, isn't it?
I love that song.
The Rip by Portishead, and Garth was mentioning there's Johnny Greenwood and Tom York doing a version of that song up online.
Yeah, go and see it. It's lovely.
On their website, I think. Right now, this is BBC Six Music, and it's time for the news.
The War of the Songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. So check it out.
Song Wars, a reminder of Song Wars this week. And before that, of course, you heard the Dandy Warhols, the acceptable face of the Dandy Warhols.
I like the Dandy Warhols.
With Get Off. That's got to be one of their best tracks, though, surely. And Song Wars this week, Garth and I challenged, because Joe is away, if you've just tuned in, listeners, he's ill. He's got the shingles, can't stop shingling. And our challenge this week was to write in his honour a song about being ill. Garth had hay fever and I had a cold this week, so we both wrote songs about those conditions. Now, Garth, you went first last time.
I did.
So I will go first this time, if that's okay, Jude. Yeah. This is my song about having the flu.
It started yesterday. There was a tickle in my throat and I coughed, but it didn't go away. And when I coughed again, I felt a small amount of pain ripple gently through the muscles in my limbs and chest. I thought, I know what's best. I'll drink a pint of echinacea, have a bath, and snort a line of vitamin C. Oh, how happy I will be. I will chew the
the yummy orange pills, and they will sort out all my chills. Hey, look at me, I'm eating vitamin C. I've eaten much too much, oh dear, and now I can't get off the lavatory.
I've got chills, they're multiplying, and now I'm losing the will to go to work. I'll phone in sick, and they'll think that I'm just faking it, and then I'll take some pills, and I'll climb into bed.
Look, I'm in bed, it's the day, but I'm in bed. I'm going to catch up on some reading and some dull but worthy DVDs. I've got tissues, I've got mojo back issues, but I'm sweating and I'm shaking. Could somebody help me, please?
When I get better, I'm going to make some changes. I'm never going to drink or smoke a single thing again.
I've got the flu and I want you to sympathize. Just look into my eyes, they're all streaming and red, and I'm in bed and I can't get up because my muscles hurt. Oh dear, dearie me. I've got a cold and I'm told it's a peculiar strain. It makes your hands feel balloony, it plays tricks on your brain. You get a tune in your head and it plays on a loop, round and round and round and round. I've got the bug from a woman.
There you go. It fades out. My inspiration was Syd Barrett there. I was trying to do like a kind of a Syd Barrett voice.
It works. It sounds like an ill voice.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a good one.
Thanks very much, man.
It's a battle we're fighting this week.
As you said, there's a lot of sections. The sections don't necessarily fit together.
No, but they give you that lift.
Yeah.
Vitamin C. You get the lift and everything.
Did you know that, though? If you one time when I had a cold, I dosed up on way too many vitamin C tablets.
Right.
And it goes right through you. I mean, it opens up the sluices at both ends. You better watch out, because
I hope you're enjoying your scrambled eggs, everyone. Yeah,
they're not sweeties, folks. No. You can't just neck those vitamin C tablets. Anyway, Garth, your song.
It's called Hay Fever.
This one goes out to all the ladies and all the men having problems with their allergies today.
Was it my wife?
What's the meaning, yeah?
It all at once I knew the score. This has happened lots before. It's not someone, it's my allergy. Making me sneeze, making me wheeze. I got a fever. I hate a fever. Ruin my summer. Serious bummer. If you got a fever. It doesn't put me to sleep,
even though sleeping is nice.
I use so many tissues, it is obscene. There's a constant stream of liquid green. As the pollen count goes up, I know I've run out of luck. And what's in store is just more misery. Look at my nose run. Won't stop till the autumn.
You've got proper choruses in there and everything.
Well, it's Song Wars. Yeah, the war of the songs.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you
well,
come
also,
in here
I was
with
working
your
with
chords.
Timbaland, you know, and Niles Barkley. And
what are you doing? Is that GarageBand you're using there, man?
Yeah, it's GarageBand, but it's not a pre-existing loop, except the drums are a loop. And then I just wrote a little tune.
Sounds nice.
Oh, thank
nice
you.
Little bit of production there.
Not as funny as yours.
So,
though.
Folks, you can vote for Garth or my song on adamandjoe.bbc. No, I'll start again. You can email your votes for Song Wars to adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. And you can do that throughout the week if you're listening again. And we'll tell you who the winner is, and we'll play the winner when we're at Glastonbury next week.
Oh, brilliant.
So listen in. That's going to be an exciting show. Okay, more music now. This is Sigur Rós with a track called Gobbledygook.
la 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 la.
You know how Steve Wright always sings over the end of his songs? Could you imagine him on that?
La 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 la.
That was the Ewoks. with one of their forests.
No, yeah.
With one of their forest songs. they're excited because there's a new treehouse that's just been built. And that's like the inaugural song they're playing at the unveiling of the new treehouse.
No, yeah.
That's what they say. We were trying to remember what the Ewoks say the other day.
No, yeah.
Pretty sure that was
they say, tak, tak.
Tak. I don't know. I don't know. That sounds like the Mars Attacks aliens.
Maybe.
Tak, tak.
Oh, they say, tak.
Yes.
They're amazing. Now, we were talking about Radiohead. We're lucky enough to be going to see Radiohead in Victoria Park this week. I don't know if you are, folks. Maybe we'll see you there. They're playing on Tuesday and Wednesday night. Are you going?
I'm actually going to go to both nights. I haven't seen them play at all for years and years, so I'm very excited about it.
They've got this amazing new light show and everything.
Mm.
They're using, what are they, LEDs?
Yeah, because I think the brief was, make an amazing light show, but do it in the most ecologically friendly way. You
thanks,
know?
Al Gore.
Yeah, no, but I think they've pulled it off. It looks amazing from
Al
what
Gore
I've seen.
Has actually delivered the lights to Radiohead personally. Mm. It's a new thing that he's invented, and they are amazing. I saw them last weekend in France, as I was saying earlier, and it's spectacular and really beautiful. It's like these long columns, these kind of plastic tubes hanging down over the stage, and they light up in the most remarkable way, but they're all sort of, it's like a forest of these things.
Oh, I see
down.
So there's layers of them.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't tell that from
they're
the
sort
picture
of hanging
I saw.
Down like stalactites,
right?
And so they create by oh, it's hard to describe, but they sort of create 3D effects as if you're actually seeing like a three-dimensional object floating around.
I'm with you, because you can move through the lights.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
can
yeah.
send a signal through.
Oh,
the
brilliant.
Oh, that sounds nice.
They played Planet Telex at the end.
Really?
And the whole thing just sort of exploded into this multicolored, like amazing candy-colored lights. It's just wonderful. I can't wait. I'm so excited about seeing them again. But, oh, my Lord. Now, forgive me if this sounds like the words of a sort of pervy old man, but the lady situation where I saw them in Nîmes was unbelievable. I've never seen
so
many
people, ladies from Nîmes, just hanging out.
I guess so. Maybe French ladies, but they've got a better class of lady out there or something. But
right.
maybe it's just Radiohead fans. I'm not sure. But I've never seen so many troublingly attractive female fans at a gig in my life.
Wow.
You know, and they were a certain type of girl, though, right? They were, I mean, when I say girl, you know, these are mature, intelligent women I'm talking about, not like 14-year-olds running around there. But they're sort of beautiful looking, but interesting looking, you know, the ultimate woman. And they're not overdressed. They're not like sort of Sex in the City style, over the top, ludicrous.
They're not scrawny,
fashion.
As you're saying.
They're not all scrawny, no. And but they're not kind of binge drinky type of British women.
You
no,
mean
I'm
there's
joking.
Something in between?
I'm joking. Not British. I'm just joking. But you know what I mean. And they're not sort of over made up. And they've got sort of interesting bags with maybe Naomi Klein novels popping out, or books or whatever by Noam Chomsky popping out. Out of the top there, and they all look interesting, and they've got sort of interesting hair and stuff like this, and you're just thinking, oh man, this is happening way too late, you know. I cannot believe it.
I just like the idea of you with the bat for lashes cat saying, look, I've got your cat.
I've got your cat, Natasha. What do you want me to do with it?
Isn't it brilliant? I love cats too.
I was just wandering around thinking, I can't believe I'm finally here with my VIP pass and all
access
these
access all areas,
you know. And instead, you know, I'm nearly 40 or whatever it is, and I mean, obviously, I'm on the very very happy island of marriage, and of course, there's no
you
way.
Might not be after this little piece you've done on the radio.
No, maybe not.
The wrong way this afternoon.
She never listens. But, you know, I would never. You know, I'm happy on the paradise marriage island. Why would I want to dip my toe in the incredibly attractive water?
I don't want to swim now. I'm happy on the sand.
So there you go. people are going to be giving me a wide berth of Victoria
Park. Well, in a way, you've done a lot of singles a favour because they know where to go this week.
Yeah, that's
they're looking
true.
For a date. And you're looking for a different class of person. Would that go for the men as well? I know.
Oh, men, absolutely. There was a lot of very good-looking men. I mean, it was just ludicrous. It looked like a big, sexy advert with Dr. Buckles, a little hairy monkey man, walking around in the middle of it, going, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe it! I've never been this far away from home." Now, here's one of the tracks that they played that I never really liked before from "Hail to the Thief."
Right.
But when they played it, it just made complete sense. And I just thought, wow, this is an amazing song. And I went back and listened to it again. "Where I End, A New Begin" by Radiohead.
I will eat you alive.
Who's going to eat me alive?
Stop it. Can you start with my toes? That's terrible.
It was Radiohead, "Where I End, A New Begin." Well, that's pretty much it for our show this week. Thank you so much for all your texts and emails. Listeners, apologies as usual if we didn't read them out, but we read every single one and we really appreciated it. Thank you so much, Garth Jennings, for filling in for
Thank
Joe
Cornish.
Thank you
for having me again and hope you get well soon, Joe.
Yeah, he's on the mend, I think, which is good news. And Dr. Sexy and Dr. Buckles will be reporting live from Glastonbury, the Glastonbury Festival next weekend. We'll be with you at the usual time on Saturday, 9 till 12. Please don't forget to watch my show, Me Box, which is a whole new half hour of brand new exciting comedy rubbish, which goes out on BBC Three tomorrow night, Sunday night at 11:45 p.m. Thereafter, of course, you can watch it on iPlayer, and I think it's repeated the following Thursday as well. I've got a little squeak in my... Can you hear me?
You sound like Sooty or one of those little
mouse.
Toys.
Yeah, it's the remnants of my cold. Don't forget to vote for our Song Wars songs as well. And, of course, our podcast will be out tomorrow evening, Sunday, after about 6:30. Thanks to the tireless efforts of Jude and Claire here at the Big British Castle. Thank you so much for listening. Liz Kershaw is coming up. And then later, of course, Lauren Laverne. So you've really got no excuse to go anywhere but Six Music for the rest of your weekend. Have a good one. And we'll be back with you shortly. Next week. Thereabouts.
Love you, bye.